Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, sliding into the 5 o'clock happy hour. And I'm happy because Dom's to the left of me, Fancy Brian's to the right of me, and right before me, the lovely and talented Maggie Dunn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, award-winning broadcaster Maggie Dunn. Still a little envious. We took second that year.
A little salty about that, yes.
The best big market interview in the state of Wisconsin, according to the WBA. Ours only came in second.
Hi, Maggie.
Welcome, award-winning broadcaster Maggie Dunn. It's been too long.
It's so good to see all three of you guys in person and to be in the studio with both of you again. And
new studio, The Shaw.
The Shaw.
I love it. What do you think of The Shaw?
I love it. One of my best friend's names is Shannon, and I call her Shaw. So now I'm going to have to get her to listen to The Shaw.
You know, when it was presented to me, I was a little reluctant to take on The Shaw, and then I warmed up to the concept. But I'm like, how are we going to make it funny? You know, and we're looking for funny tie-ins, you know, the Shawshank Redemption. And it pretty much stopped there. Maybe Sha-na-na. You know, there weren't a lot of those funny references that you could build into sort of liners and the funny, the multiple layers of the onion that will be this wonderful radio station. So anyways, The Shaw. But W-A-U-K sounds like walk.
Yeah.
So, you know, walk the walk.
Walk a Shaw.
Walk a Shaw.
I'm going to let you two geniuses noodle that one out.
You know what? Our friend Robert Pilot, he is the indigenous man. He does the Native Roots Radio. He says, Walkie Shaw. He says, you know what that means, Mike? I said, no, Robert, what's that mean? I know him by his, you know, his white man name. And he said, Walkie Shaw means little foxy, little fox. He goes, you will be little foxy news. And they laughed his ass off. He's a funny guy.
See, now that's pretty good.
But actually, apparently it means like little foxy, and then Shaw means water. The Fox River.
Yeah.
Right over
makes
here.
Makes sense, yep.
So anyways, there's
the history lesson for today.
Yeah. So let's talk about some history that's being made here in the great state of Wisconsin. Gableman, the special prosecutor, the corrupted former Supreme Court justice. What'd you think of the big interim report he dropped last week? Hey, let's roll back the Electoral College. Let's get back Joe Biden's 10 Electoral College votes. And evidence, I offer you none.
Yeah, he's special, all right. I'd call it more special ed than special prosecutor. I don't really think he has much of an idea of what he's doing or using any sort of typical special prosecutor process that is much more usual.
He was a district attorney. He was appointed by Tommy Thompson. He eventually served on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, yet every aspect of this investigation, from his ready admission, I don't know anything about elections, to this interim report, says this man's completely incompetent of the process of the very job he's being paid to do.
Yeah, $750,000. And then, let's do a unilateral contract extension. Thank you, Robin Voss. While the legislature is in recess, like, that one's interesting. There's nothing to really defend here.
We weren't asking you to defend the man.
Yeah.
Help us eviscerate him.
Yeah, certainly not. It's a sham of a process The man is patently and very obviously completely unqualified to do this work in any sort of a way that even would show the appearance of objectivity, which from a historical record perspective, maybe that's for the best. He sort of, he put on the clown face paint and the clown outfit and the clown shoes, and now he's actually doing the circus
routine, he's got Wisconsin Voter Alliance, you know, people that are involved in lawsuits against the WEC on staff, on payroll.
Yeah, again,
I mean, it's not objective whatsoever. No,
they're
not
doing an office share with the Thomas More Society and apparently a liposuction.
And Cardall's attorney.
Or Kirkdall, yeah. The Minneapolis-based attorney who represents the Trump campaign in many of his failed lawsuits.
So it's not even like they're trying to pretend this is something other than a totally biased partisan, quote-unquote, investigation, of course. And there is no investigation. The judge, Remington, I believe, came out and said everyone needs
to read this on
their own and determine for yourself. From what I see, this is a bunch of bunk and paraphrasing. What did you think of how the judge approached this case?
You know, I think it's interesting. If you're a jurist, if you're a judge in this moment and you get these kinds of craziness, these sorts of crazies in your courtroom, what is your response, right?
Like,
it's sort of the old saying, like, don't try to argue with an idiot. It just doesn't work. So as a judge,
we made a show out of it. Sorry.
That's why you didn't get paid. But seriously, like, as a judge, how do you decide to address these things? Like, do you actually take it as if it's facially reasonable and address it as you would a normal argument? I don't know what the answer to that is. Judges should be serving a higher constitutional objective and ideal, and that is to be unbiased. But again, we've gone through the looking glass, right? We're in this post-Trumpian atmosphere. If I'm a judge, I think I start to speak in the layperson's vernacular so that my decisions are really accessible to people. This is nonsense. It doesn't even have the appearance of objectivity. I would really start to make that very plain. I would get away from legalese, again, so that the import of what's happening and what my decisions are very plain to lay people. But I want to hit this point. From a historical record perspective, the silliness here, the circus-like atmosphere, the complete lack of any credibility of this so-called investigation, I think makes it much easier to dismiss and to tell the very few remaining folks that may be sort of independents and middle of the road, that's laughingstock material, right? You can actually ignore that. And they're not trying to even give it a patina of objectivity or reasonableness. And so the fact that it makes it much easier to dismiss as basically another partisan hack job, perhaps not the worst
but
thing.
Some of the, and I hear
I'm
what
like,
you're
I'm
saying.
I'm glad they're so incompetent about making it look objective.
But maybe that to the true believers, that is it's irrelevant to them. We reviewed some of the citizen action type committees that are out
Wisconsin
there.
Wisconsin citizens demanding election integrity. WCDEI.
So they sent this letter out to all the Republicans who aren't on board with, you know, decertification or whatever that means, saying basically we're out of patience. If you don't do something, we're coming after you. And we're saying this because look at this very awesome report that this very respected former Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin put out there. And then you see the former president himself parroting, you know, bringing this thing out and saying, oh, Robin Voss, do the right thing. Bring everybody back and decertify. It doesn't matter what it says, they're going to use it anyway for the propaganda purposes.
Bingo. And so I think we're kind of saying the same thing, albeit in different ways. They're only speaking to one audience, and it's an audience that already has their minds made up. This is just more baloney window dressing to keep perpetuating the big lie. It has no legitimacy. It will have no traction with anyone that can rub two gray cells together and think independently. And for those that will only and ever conclude that the election was stolen, this is just more confirmation bias.
But that's
material.
Who they want to engage in the midterms. And yep. And this...
But would anything that Gableman says dissuade that same group of people to think any differently?
Yeah, I think if he'd have come out and he'd said, as a Supreme Court justice that they probably voted for, at least those old enough that voted 10 years ago, But if he'd have come out and said, as the tool of this investigation, hey, I've looked really hard, and, you know, did something similar to the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty report and said, well, I disagree with this, or we should have some reform there. You know, all things considered, it was an upstanding election, and congrats to our clerks. They did a great job, and Joe Biden's the president. I think it would have put some of this in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, but I disagree with that as premise. I think some people have so committed themselves emotionally, psychologically, and from a belief standpoint to the big lie that it doesn't matter who tells them that the election was fairly run and won by Joe Biden. You're talking about the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, Ron Johnson himself saying Joe Biden is
former Speaker Paul Ryan.
Right. So it's like, well, pick your conservative hero. Why would this guy matter who's been off the bench for a number of years?
Here's the point. When you hear the big lie repeated by the guy that's supposed to be the special prosecutor, and you could say, well, you know, if someone just told them the truth, they wouldn't believe it anyways. I understand that. I talk to CG on the air almost every day. But effectively, they're giving cover to right-wing talk radio and the Fox News and the outlets of advocacy. They continue to give them all the proof they need is what Gableman said. And then they go out there and they jam it down people's throats hour after hour, day after day. And you can say it's not influential, but Scott Walker would have never been the governor of the state of Wisconsin had he not been propped up by right-wing talk radio. Donald Trump lost the primary in the state of Wisconsin to Ted Cruz by 13 points because right-wing talk radio said, go vote for Ted Cruz. And then when the fall elections came along, they said, vote for Ron Johnson, vote for a Supreme Court justice, vote for Donald Trump, and people did.
My whole point is that if Gableman came out with some sort of reasonably objective and balanced report, that would simply get ignored by right-wing talk radio, and they'd find the next patsy to perpetuate the big lie. Their commitment is complete, and it is sacrosanct. And so truth tellers will be ignored, and those that buy and help perpetuate the big lie will be elevated, and that will be the only voice that's ever repeated on righty-whitey talk radio.
Well, no doubt, but when they get to be the star witnesses at the Assembly Elections Commission, on the very day I was up there decorating the Christmas tree, Dan O'Donnell is given invite-only testimony at a Assembly Elections Commission hearing. It was a total sham comeback. The finest of guests, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Most importantly, Dom's drinking buddy.
Hey!
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Shame on you.
Why? Shame on you.
Shame on you.